Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
It's not a gimmick. He is it's a great defensive tool.
Yeah. Now, didn't you say he also had some comments about the snow totals up there?
I said, Jimmy, with all these nor'easters, are you too far inland? Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, we haven't been really hit hard by those. We've only got 191 inches this year. 191.
That's it.
Even if Chuck Bell was right, we'd have 14.
That's just on the grassy area.
191 in Syracuse.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Apropos of that, by the way, I feel completely vindicated on this notion that it's only going to fall on grassy areas. I mean, if you're stupid enough to believe that even 4 or 5 inches of snow is only going to fall on grassy areas, right, it's not going to fall on your sidewalk. If you're that stupid, I can sell you this restaurant. We're at Chatter, live at Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest, Jennifer Street Northwest, and Friendship Heights. We are open for breakfast. Tonight, I think the games start around 6 o'clock or so. Chatter will have, of course, NCAA specials. We invite people to come in and watch the games here. Gary Braun is here. Luke Russert, back perhaps for an extended period of time, we're not sure, from his many travels, is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel will run the board. Nigel will do news briefly.
Just to point
out, John and Colleen Williams were here. I got a note about that, which is very nice.
You're welcome to show at 6 or even 5 or 4. The games start in the 7 o'clock hour.
Oh, okay, 7 o'clock. Yeah. Okay.
7:07.
Come to chatter early. The beer starts flowing at 10 a.m.
Yes, exactly. Come to chatter early. I want to thank Elizabeth Cohn for sending me game pieces from the Acme in North Cape May. Yesterday, I went home. I had about 500 total because I had over 100 boards of Monopoly, 500 total, didn't get a single thing. Because I'm now down to where you have to win. We're just looking for the winning tickets. Went through all of them, didn't get a single thing.
So how many boards are you operating
now? Just two. Because there's no point. It doesn't matter.
Right, they all need the same piece.
They need exactly the same pieces.
You're not going to win the million twice.
So it doesn't really matter. So what did I want to get to today? I'm so happy. Luke, are you staying? Are you going to stay through the whole show and maybe spend the night in Washington?
I got priorities, Tony. I got Nationals opening day coming up. Right. I got the Wizards playoffs on the horizon.
So you'll be around for a while.
Where were you most recently?
Yeah.
Oh, I just had a long one. It started off with an Indian wedding celebration.
In India?
In India, yes, which was, I don't know if you've been to an Indian wedding, but it's a 4-day extravaganza.
Absolutely incredible. That's a hole in my resume, Indian wedding.
Premium buffets served for 4 days, all three meals. It is customary that the bride's family pays for your hotel room. It was extraordinary.
Wow.
Extraordinary. I went in full traditional Indian garb.
I'm sure you took pictures.
Wow, like Justin
Trudeau.
The
wedding night, I had the turban on that you usually wear for your series on PTI.
Right.
I looked much better than Trudeau because that came out.
Yeah, he looked a little clowny.
He looked a little clowny. Yeah. I had the authentic stuff. I went to the right store. I had a guy. He dressed me up correctly. Trudeau did not have a guy.
Right.
Trudeau had a Canadian. He didn't have an Indian. Okay. He had to have the Indian. And then I went to Nepal.
Yeah, well, it's right around the corner. You got to go.
Malaysia, Sri Lanka,
Indonesia. Did you climb anything?
I saw Mount Everest from a prop plane.
Right.
And you and I'm a better flyer than you are, but prop planes, I don't do well on prop planes.
Right.
But I said, I have to see Mount Everest. So I was able to do it. It took 2 days because of weather, a lot of deplanings and planings on. And as a fellow neurotic flyer, the worst thing in the world is the D-plane and the replane. Because you're all psyched up, right?
Yeah,
you're ready to go. I'm pinching myself. I'm doing my breathing exercises.
Let's go.
It's like, weather, going to have to wait an hour. Why don't you go back to the terminal?
I know what that's like.
Could I tell my monkey story quickly?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You can tell slowly.
If I had a dollar for every time I've said that.
Yes.
All right. Some of the littles saw this on the Instagram. Please give me a follow on Instagram at Luke Russert, LukeRussert.
It's a great travel blog.
You know what? If you don't know how to spell it, please do not follow him. You can't figure out how to spell it.
But we like followers, and if you slide into my DMs, you might even get a response. I'm not guaranteeing it, but you might even get a response.
No promises.
If you're a little. So I'm at this place called the Uluwatu Temple in Bali.
Know it well.
And it's a beautiful temple overlooking the ocean.
I knew the rabbi.
Pristine.
Got bar mitzvah there.
Yeah, absolutely.
The rabbi.
Rabbi. And there's a big sign that says, be careful of the monkeys. Watch your jewelry, your watches.
They're trained to steal stuff?
Listen.
Okay.
Sunglasses, cell phones. And I'm consummate world traveler, I kind of read the sign. I'm,
yeah.
I've dealt with a lot worse than a few stray monkeys here. Let's be honest. So I'm overlooking this beautiful part of the temple that kind of hangs off into the ocean, and the lighting's perfect. I go, I'm a millennial. This is an Instagram. I have to do it. I put my glasses on top of my head, get the frame all right on my iPhone 7, filtered perfect, right? Take the shot. In the middle of taking the shot, I feel this slap to the side of the head, and then a nail scratch right across the top of my head, and suddenly my sunglasses are gone, and about 5 feet away, there's a monkey staring at me.
Really?
Yes, and we're on a cliff here, so I can't lunge.
Right.
And the monkey has the glasses and is staring at me.
Do you make him an offer at that
point?
Well,
I go, I know Reginald. Okay, Reginald's my boy, and he says, well, we don't really like Reginald because he ran out on a tab down here with some surfer girls about 3 or 4 years ago, so he's really not welcome. But just miraculously, out of the adjoining woods where the temple is located, a man appears, an older Indonesian man. And he goes, well, on occasion, sometimes they'll give those glasses back for a bag of fruit. And I just so happen to have a bag of fruit here in my backpack. And I go, and how much is this bag of fruit? And he goes, oh, $5 American.
So he's working with the monkey.
Correct.
Of course.
It's the greatest scam in the world.
He's working with the monkey.
So these are nice glasses. You know, these aren't gas station glasses. These are Canaan sunglasses that you have on the golf course.
Movement sunglasses.
And, yeah, which you need, which I recommend to everybody. They're like HD vision. So I give the guy...
Are those atomic glasses that we love?
Nice.
From Tonto
yes,
Peronto?
Nice. So I give the guy the money. He throws the bag of fruit to the monkey. The monkey looks at him, basically smiles, throws the glasses at me, literally throws them at me.
That's great.
And that was it.
That's great.
And I said,
that's worth it.
I'm not even mad because that scam was so
good.
It
would have been worth 20
it was
bucks.
Such a good
They're
scam.
They're working together. How at great least. Is that?
And he also, while I was there, the monkey...
That is great.
He grabbed a cell phone from a nice South Korean lady, and that I believe that cost more.
That's more than a bag of fruit.
Sure. That fruit basket cost a little bit more than the glasses.
That's so a great story.
And I went to South Korea. I went to the DMZ. So I didn't get the interview. I was trying to get an interview for this show. Kim Jong-un didn't quite get that. But I think we have a good chance.
Tony's willing to meet with him. No preconditions.
Yeah. No preconditions for me. All right, so I get a call last night from Wilbon at about... I don't know, 8:15, something like that. And he goes, are you watching this? And I go, am I watching what? He says, you watching Cleveland? It's the greatest game I've ever seen. You watching Cleveland? Cleveland gave up 79 points in the first half. Wilbon is doing play-by-play in the last minute of the first half, going wild that Cleveland, at home, has given up 79 first-half points to who? To Toronto?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Number one Raptors.
And he says how important this game is to Cleveland, and this is going to prove they're no good. And I said... You know, I fundamentally disagree with you on the importance of the game to Cleveland. I think LeBron James, at this point in his career, doesn't care about any of these games because he knows he can go into the playoffs when it matters and he can win on the road. It just doesn't matter.
Can I point out, though, when you say that, were you aware of the fact that a loss would have meant 3, 4, 5, and 6 all would have had 30 losses? Which means there's a one loss difference between being in third and seventh.
I understand, but that would not affect
my you didn't
position.
Care. Got it.
My position is that LeBron James in the playoffs is the most important person
in
the
world. As
you
saw in the second half.
LeBron James, right. LeBron James finishes with 35 points, which is, you know, okay for him. That's what he does. He's the best player in the world. 17 assists, and I'd point out he's 6'8 and weighs 260 pounds, and zero, let me stress this, zero turnovers, even though he's the guy with the ball in his hand all the time. All the time.
And that was
seven
a record,
boards.
By the way.
Huh?
That was a record to have that many assists and no turnovers. That was an NBA record.
A lot of people don't do that.
No.
A lot of people don't do that. Nobody does that. And Kevin Love, and this is the most important thing I can say about the game. Kevin Love had 23-12. Kevin Love's an all-star. Getting Kevin Love back changes everything for Cleveland. Tyronn Lue. Here's somebody who doesn't matter. Tyronn Lue. They're 2-0 without Tyronn Lue. If Tyronn Lue gets back today or Tyronn Lue gets back in 2021, it has no effect on LeBron James. LeBron James coaches the team. LeBron James is not receptive to coaching by any coach he's ever had. He does. It's not what he does. He's out there. He coaches the teams. He may not make substitutions, but if he doesn't like the substitutions, he sends that guy off the court.
Right.
He coaches the team. So.
It did not appear there were many Cavs who didn't know what to do. In terms of coaching,
Larry
right?
Drew is
they,
as good.
They appear to know what to do.
Any coach is as good. Well, I mean, if you got a great coach, that might make a difference. But LeBron would clash with a great coach.
Jeff Green gave them a lot of good minutes, yes, too. On yes. Gary's point, though, this is going to be a very interesting last 2 weeks of the season in the Eastern Conference, because at some point you have to start thinking, do we tank? Do we try and lose to avoid Cleveland? Like, my big fear with the Wizards is they're going to draw Cleveland first round, where they could draw the Pacers.
That's where they are right now.
Or the Sixers.
They have done well. They've lost great games to them. But
you can't beat LeBron first round.
No, they pushed them to the total limit.
It's just not going to happen. But I'm worried. I'm worried. I don't want LeBron first round.
All right, I want to get to one other thing here, and that is the Facebook thing. As people know, I do not subscribe to the Facebook. I don't know anything about it. Luke and Michael are young enough to understand this, and Gary uses social media
so
often.
We were originals, because Penn and BC were part of the first 10 schools that were on it in 2004.
Were you on it? Then
we were originals.
Correct.
M. Philip Kornheiser, that was his name. M. Philip.
Well, that is his name.
Well, that was his Facebook name.
Yeah.
For the first 100 schools or so, you could actually see every time they added a new school, because they would put it boldly on the homepage.
The day they added high schools,
that's when
was
it
tremendous.
So for dating purposes,
because we were probably sophomores, and the high schoolers correct. Came on. So all these girls used to know in high school were suddenly on Facebook. And then when Facebook ended for me is when I had my aunts on. I said, no, we're done.
Isn't it for old people?
Now it is. Yeah.
Now Isn't it just yeah. for old
it
people?
It used to
now?
Be for the kids.
And don't they like talk about who they went to high school with and bore you to death?
Oh, yeah. But no, you they get join these, knitting posts, clubs. These posts about nothing, just 18 paragraphs, these diatribes about nothing.
So what is this thing now, and why does Mark Zuckerberg have to appear before Congress? What did they do? I don't understand it.
You happen to be in luck, because I'm an absolute expert on this, as you're well aware.
Good.
There are privacy concerns, apparently. This firm, Cambridge Analytica, this data mining firm, as I understand it. Anyone feel free to correct me here as I begin to drown.
We're going
to
be crowded. If anybody knows, just yell something.
There is some confusion about how and what they were able to mine from Facebook in terms of personal data that was supposed to be private, and how they may have used it in efforts for the Trump campaign, maybe, as well as others. Zuckerberg, who was already, as I understand it, on kind of double secret probation from Congress in terms of privacy protections, had to answer these calls because people, I guess, foolishly think their data is going to be protected.
There's a few things at play.
I mean, privacy is dead, as Zuckerberg is famously
but with him specifically,
announced.
He's also under a lot of scrutiny because of the role that a lot of people felt that Russia played in the election through social media. And what Cambridge,
do they feel he's a co-conspirator?
That they did not. That
I don't
Facebook
think anyone's
did not
that.
Do enough to offset
willful
what
ignorance.
The hacking was. Yes, that they could have been much more forceful in their ability to police the accounts that they knew were clearly fraudulent.
Tony, they had political ad accounts being paid for in rubles, literally paid for in rubles, and just didn't ask questions. Just said,
but on this specific allegation regarding Cambridge Analytica, it comes down to there is a survey, a Facebook survey that people like to take, that millions took, that was essentially a personality survey. And from the answers derived from this personality survey, they were able to harvest data which would then get into your sort of political psyche, if you will.
And they could talk to you.
And they did all this without asking permission.
What, is that illegal?
Well, it's
is that, I mean,
quite
if you
sketchy.
Voluntarily, I mean, I agree with Gary that there is no such thing as privacy anymore. Once you enter these networks, I think you give a lot of that up. And I don't know why he's... are people angry at him because he made a lot of money?
If you're taking a personality survey that you think something it's cute and funny on the internet, and then it's being used by a foreign company to then give election data to a U.S. adversary or a U.S. political campaign, there's questions involved.
Well, can I tell you what that sounds like to me at my age?
Yeah.
It sounds like stealing signs from the catcher to me. That it's part of the game.
Well, I think it depends on what the agreement that you signed without reading says.
There's an issue
that when this started in 2004, so an 18-year-old Luke Russert is putting under his profile, I like the Washington Wizards.
Right.
And you're giving that information freely or posting on another friend's picture that you think is going to a small network. Hey, great to see you in class on Tuesday. You still are using those standards in 2018 when all of a sudden there is a different ability to mine the data that you might be giving through that personality quiz that 10 years ago, 5 years ago might have been towards very different.
If I could hire Cambridge Analytica to get more people from the neighborhood to come in to chatter and spend money, I would do that. This sounds to me like a consulting firm that we see all the time in various ways. Now, I understand people go crazy about privacy laws, but if you go on the Facebook and you just sit there and ramble on and on and on about somebody you knew in high school,
essentially saying, look at me.
It's strange, though, because the Facebook has such advanced data metrics that if you're on there, and I don't use it anymore specifically for this reason, but I would find myself thinking about something and it would pop up in front of me on the screen. It was so strange. It was almost like...
Wait a second. It read your mind?
And literally...
It doesn't read your mind. It just knows where you're going before you realize you're going there.
It's like, oh, he's talked about baseball, and suddenly it's there's a cooler advertisement. And I said, how did that come about? Because I wrote
this frightened somebody
that I was going to go to the beach with them next week. It's just very, very strange. The other thing that's hurting Zuckerberg, though, he had a big stock sell-off prior to all this happening because he lost billions with the outrage over this. And there's questions about the stock sell-off. So it's not a good week for
this. I must say, I don't know if you watched any of the interviews. I mean, he's been making the rounds. He's not a very public figure, as you know.
He's not running for president.
He strikes me as, understandably, I'm not suggesting he's like doing something nefarious, but he strikes me as very nervous and uncomfortable in these interviews. And it's just like,
doesn't he strike you that way from the time you first saw him on TV?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's who he is.
But he's getting grilled in, and he's saying
didn't
the right
Didn't he start
things?
This thing as a way to get dates? Because he didn't think he was good enough to get dates.
I didn't see the movie,
own?
Actually. I'm embarrassed to admit.
It's very good. It's quite a good movie.
It's Aaron Sorkin. It's very good.
Oh, yeah. It's a terrific movie.
And it's a movie, so you know it's the definitive history. Right?
All right, let's get out of here. I knew I wouldn't be able to understand it. Who's got Jay Williams?
That's right.
Jay Williams, talk about the Final Four or the run up to the Final Four, the Sweet 16 and down. When we return, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Harry's ad, and they ask you to be to give a personal endorsement of what you love most about shaving with Harry's. Man, you know, love is a strong word for me. Shaving with Harry's is fine. I like Harry's.
Oh, it's great.
Everybody here has the Harry's razors. Professing my love for the Harry's razor strikes me as odd, especially with what Luke just said about, you know, machines being able to read your mind and tell you what's coming next. So we're going to pass on that. Harry's stands behind the quality of their blades, but they know that switching razors is not an easy decision. So they created a trial offer. You can claim yours by going to harrys.com and using the code TONYK. Harry's founders were fed up with overpaying for expensive razors with unnecessary features. They knew that a great shave came down to great blades made with sharp, durable steel that lasts, and it's why they bought a factory that's been making some of the highest quality blades in the world for over 95 years. By selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's can offer their blades at a price much lower than the leading brand, just $2 a blade compared to $4 or more. And if you don't love your shave, let Harry's know within 30 days. They will give you a free refund. About the trial offer, you can get a $13 value trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. A weighted ergonomic handle, a five-blade razor with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade, a rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. Listeners of my show can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/TonyK. So make sure you go to harrys.com, harrys.com/TonyK to redeem your offer. And it says to let them know that I sent you to help support the show. Now, that's just a way to mine, as we like to say, all your personal data. You know, just claim it. Just claim it.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
I already like this. This is a band called Hey Captain Knight, a five-piece band from Whitewater, Wisconsin, a mix of punk, rock, pop. Sound like your favorite 90s bands with a modern twist. The latest album is It's About Time, and they're currently playing the Southern Wisconsin music scene. The next shows are March 24th at the Fire on Water in downtown Milwaukee, and then April 14th at the Mineshaft in Hartford. Hartford, Wisconsin, or Hartford, Connecticut? I don't know.
I only know the Harvard and Connecticut.
This is written to us by Nate or Knight Windham. This is his cousin Andrew's band. And on the 24th,
great board name.
The
Knight
show
Windham.
On March 24th, which is coming up, we'll buy a beer to anyone who yells the cheesery during any moment of silence.
Ooh, that could get expensive.
Janesville, Rockford, Naperville.
It's very, very good. Jay Williams joins us now.
Naperville's Illinois.
And Jay said something. You said something. I watched you. I mean, I know you've been on 20,000 times. What are you doing, playing ping pong against a steel wall? What is it with those noises?
I'm sorry. Hold on. You know what? Let me take you off my... I just got done shoveling snow, Tony. You know, we got a nor'easter here in New York, not like you guys in D.C., all right?
We got 4 or 5 inches, which is the most we've gotten, but you've been hit about 4 times, right? You've been hit 4 times?
Yeah, and I've been out shoveling snow 3 times already over the past day and a half, so it's been a... Sorry for all the noise.
You're an athlete. You can shovel snow. You're young. Your heart works.
An athlete 15 years ago. I'm definitely losing all the skills of being an athlete, I'll tell you that.
So I watched you on TV. In one of the billion times you were on. But I watched, and you were talking about the kid who missed the free throws against Michigan, which allowed Michigan to get ultimately the wildest shot of the tournament so far by Poole.
Exactly.
And you said that you remember the failures far more than the successes, and you used the word haunt, and you felt that this kid, whose name I didn't know and wouldn't even say now because... Rather, if he was listening, not to make him even crazier. But you said he'll be haunted by this. And the indication was you've been haunted by these things. Is that true for everybody or just you that you remember the failures more than the successes?
Well, I think, Tony, the failures are the ones that drive us in life overall in general. So, you know, as somebody who's still very competitive at what he does today, I think it's the byproduct of how I was raised within sports. You know, when I was younger, I would have a lot of people tell me, oh, yeah, you did great, you did great. But I remembered those people that gave me constructive criticism more so than I remember those people who praised me.
Right.
And so in those particular moments, you know, those are teachable moments. And those are the moments that lead you to being in the gym. Now, look, if you become lucky and you become uber successful in life or on the court, you know, inevitably those great moments inspire you to work harder, too. But it's easier to have more determination when you have a failure like that to get your tail back in the gym, or, you know, to go out to the court after the game is over and all of a sudden stand at the free throw line and visualize yourself, you know, actually making a shot. I don't think a lot of kids even put themselves in that position. And for that kid and for me in particular, I mean, look, my last college career game, Tony, was against Maryland. I was against Indiana at Kentucky. It was the only time Kentucky fans, I think, have ever rooted for IU. And Daniel Ewing brought the ball down the right side of the court, shot a shot with about 4 seconds or less on the clock. We were down 4. It seems like by God's divine plan, the ball hits off the back of the rim, bounces right towards me at the top of the key. I catch the ball. I give Dane Fife a head fake. He jumps. I jump into him. Don't even see where the basket is. Throw the ball up. The ball goes in the basket. I mean, think about this moment. That's what you dream of as a kid.
Yeah.
Or the kid for Houston. You have a chance to seal the game and send Houston to the 216. You go to the line dreaming of that moment, and you get to the line, and you miss that shot. And I lose my last game of college, or he loses his game to send Houston to the 216. And those are the moments that it's tough to say, but when you reflect upon your college experience, you remember those moments way more than you remember winning an AAC title or an ACC title. It's just it's the way it is.
But you were the player of the year. You know, you were not some insufficient player. You led Duke to great glories. Do you remember that shot more than anything else?
I mean, I remember winning a championship.
Yeah.
But it's funny, you know, when I consult for Players Tribune, and I got a chance to spend some time with Kobe over the summer. And when I hear him talk, it's crazy because I'm like, I'm not alone here.
Mm-hmm.
I see him talk about more the shots he missed more so than the game-winning shots, because I feel like as an athlete or anybody who's uber competitive, when you bask in all the glory of the things you've achieved, it's easier to become content. So when you keep yourself maybe in that mode of I still have a lot of work to do, because I remember maybe my 4 or 5 flaws throughout the course of a game, instead of hitting the game-winning shot, it keeps you driven.
This is interesting to me because I think it crushes some people, Jay. I think that
I watch you do that every day on PTI. What are you talking about,
Tony? I've heard your friend Gary Williams talk about this a bunch. That he thinks about the Michigan State loss in the tournament way more than the winning the title.
The losses.
Yeah. I think it drives the greats.
Yeah. That's probably true.
Wasn't he up 21 on Duke? That one Final Four? Yeah, that one still would stick. Yeah.
Well, you played in that one, didn't you, Jay? You played in that one.
Yeah, we were up 22 at halftime. I'm sorry about that.
Jay, can I ask one quick question? Did you ever believe from that Maryland team that Steve Blake would have the longest NBA career? Because I still can't get over that.
No.
It's incredible.
We used to be roomies at Five Star Basketball Camp, and I remember saying Juan Dixon and I were talking about one time. I'm like, can you believe that Steve is still still kind of hanging on in the league and still making league minimum, which is like $3.5 million, like 15 years in. It's incredible, man.
And he comes.
That was one hell of a team, by the way.
That was a really good team.
Steve Blake comes back here every year, runs a camp, which Spike, my son, has gone to a number of years. He's out there playing with the kids and stuff. It's amazing, giving him.
I would say this, Jay, the Duke has changed so much, it seems to me, in who they recruit now, that there was a period of time where if there were one and dones, and there weren't one, there was just the notion of you could go early, that Krzyzewski stayed away from them, and now he and Calipari, more than anybody else, they go after those kids. Do you have any particular philosophy about that and how it suits or does not suit Duke? Because obviously they've been tremendously successful.
Yeah, I think it's been way more taxing psychologically on Coach K than ever before. You know, one of the things that he's always been very big on is the culture of Duke basketball, and those particular traits within the culture are things that are taught, and they can't just be taught from him. They need to be taught from an upperclassman. In this particular instance, they have Grayson who can do that, but he's the one guy who's trying to carry the load for a whole bunch of freshmen. He's the only senior, and they start four freshmen. So I think that's been challenging for him. You know, but at the end of the day, Tony, I will always say this. I'd rather have talent than not have talent.
Yeah.
You know, and when you have Bagley and you have Wendell Carter, who are both going to go top four in the draft, you have Gary Trent, who's going to be a lottery pick. Grayson Allen is going to be first round. Trayvon Duval, they're talking about being first round, you know, maybe right after the lottery. That's ridiculous. I'd rather have that issue and learn how to, you know, teach them to play together, like we're seeing both teams do towards the latter part of the season, than have the experienced team with no talent at all.
Were you, as a player, and knowing how good players are and are not, are you just astonished that UMBC beat Virginia?
I've been saying this about for the past 2.5 months, the volatility within college basketball is at an all-time high, Tony. It's this year, since the polls have came into fruition, 1948, this year has exponentially passed any other year in the history of the polls where ranked teams have lost to unranked teams.
Yeah, that's
true. So when you have a team like UMBC who's beaten good teams before, now, did I expect them to beat the number one overall seed, UVA?
No.
But I also have seen games where UVA just struggled to score. Like they couldn't put points on the board. Their defense was an all-time great.
Right.
But they never, you know, when you can't put points on the board, how the hell are you ever going to pull away from a team? You know, they're beating teams by 10, and you're like, oh, they won by 15. They're really, really good. But you're like, they only won by 10 to 15. So that inevitably, I guess, caught up to them. This is just a year of chaos, man. And I said this on First Take, and I don't want to become that old man, get off my lawn. But
that's me.
Like
that's not you, Jay. That's me. I have that. I own that.
The skill level, though, for all these big dog teams, the skill level for UMBC almost seemed offensively like it was better than a skill level for UVA. Now, that could be based upon the players that Tony recruited, but it also I see that across the board to a certain extent. Like, we don't have kids who understand how to play. You have these kids who are coming to these big-time schools, and they just want to win. And if they don't win, either they're transferring or they're leaving to go to the pros or leaving to go somewhere else.
Well, proof of what you're saying is that if you look at the four games tonight, Kentucky, Kansas State, Loyola, Nevada, Michigan, Texas A&M, and Gonzaga, Florida State. As Sweet 16 teams, you would go, this is not possible. I mean, it's just not possible. Exactly. The highest-ranked team is a 3. There's a 3 and a 4, and everybody else is way down the road at the 5 in Kentucky. And you just say, and to be honest, there's no particular game in that I want to see. I mean, I understand Loyola's a good story, but I was expecting greater teams in this deep in the tournament, weren't you? Or were you not, because you thought this could happen?
Well, I mean, Duke and Villanova are two teams, but I didn't think there were any great teams. I thought Duke had by far the most talent.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought they could merge into a great team. I thought Villanova, with the way they play and being senior driven, that they could potentially be a really good team. But I thought Duke was the only team that had a chance to be a great team. I thought every other team, and Villanova is really good, but still, like, 47% of the shots they take are from the 3-point line. What happens one game when they can't make a shot? Like, they have no inside. I mean, Spellman's really good, but he's a freshman. You don't have an inside proven right. post presence. So I thought this was a year of marginal teams, which makes for a great NCAA tournament, though. It makes for a chaotic tournament.
No, it's a great tournament. It's just hard to say, and I'm gonna commit to watching this game because I'm intrigued by these teams. Tonight, I don't really have – I'm going to go off the board here. There's a story in the Washington Post today quoting Rick Pitino as saying he wants very, very much to get back in coaching. Hmm. Do you think someone will hire him?
He wins, right?
He's great. He wins.
Look, I'm able to – I know how our society looks at people. You know, we're very black and white at times. I tend to kind of look more in the gray area. When I look at Rick Pitino, I can compartmentalize all the things he's been through. Now, the resume speaks for itself, coaching-wise. I mean, the amount of Sweet 16s and Final Fours this guy has been through and his coaching resume is impeccable. It's incredible. He's a basketball genius.
Yeah.
Like, I will not be here. He's a basketball genius. This off-the-court stuff, if you're an AD and you want to win, I mean, let's be realistic. Is somebody taking a major risk? Of course you are. Of course you are. But at the end of the day, if he could bring a winning program to a situation where they've been in dire need of wins, that only increases enrollment. That only gets more visibility around the school and the program. And let's not forget, at the end of the day, if you're an athletic director and you want to drive numbers, it's a business. So it would not shock me at all. Okay. I've often seen coaches get opportunities again after again in order to coach.
I'll give you one more. Will you be more surprised or less surprised if Sean Miller coaches Arizona next season?
I will be shocked. I would be shocked. And I love Sean.
Can't imagine it.
He's a great dude. I just don't know as a university how you can. Now look, more stuff is going to be leaked out.
Yeah.
Throughout the course of time, and you know, Book Richardson's court trial has to go to court. Case has to go to court. Excuse me. I just would be with all the stuff hovering around that program. And Tony, I will say this from a player perspective, right? We all know the protocol. After the season ends, I went through this my sophomore and junior year when I was thinking about leaving. You wait a couple of days. You mourn with your teammates. These are your brothers. You spend time with the coaching staff, even if you know what the answer is or not, and then you make a decision on whether you're going to the draft or not. We've seen Trey Young do that. We've seen some other players do that. The most insightful thing to me about this program is that as soon as the game was over,
the locker room.
Locker room, Tony.
In the locker room, two guys said, I'm out.
I'm out. I'm gone.
Ayton and Trier said that.
I want nothing else to do with this. I am gone. I'm removing myself away from this situation.
Yeah.
That was
I agree.
Looked like they decided that at halftime.
I agree. They decided it weeks before. Thank you, Jay. Are you going to be on PTI today with us?
I hope so. I think so. I think I'm slotted for it. So I look forward to it.
Good. All right. I'll see you later. Jay Williams, boys and girls. Very, very good. Thank you very, very much. We will come back with news. Nigel will do the news when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Squarespace ad. This is the part that I understand. You can create a beautiful website to turn your cool idea into a new website, to showcase your work, to blog or publish content, to sell products and services of all kind, to promote your physical or online business, and to announce an upcoming event or a special project and more. Here's the stuff I don't understand when, as I read it, that Squarespace does this by giving you beautiful templates created by world-class designers, powerful e-commerce functionality that lets you sell anything online, the ability to customize look and feel, settings, products, and more with just a few clicks. Everything optimized. These are words I don't know, from mobile right out of the box.
Don't forget SEO.
A new way to buy domains and choose from over 200 extensions. Analytics that help you grow in real time. Built-in search engine optimization. I want that on a license plate.
You talk about that all the
built-in time. Built-in search engine optimization. Free and secure hosting. Nothing to patch or upgrade ever. 24/7 award-winning customer support. I understand that. I'm back into the understandable phase now. We're encouraging folks to make it. Make it yourself. Easily create a website by yourself. Make it stand out. Stand out with a beautiful website. Michael, we do this, and by we, I mean you.
Yes, we do have Squarespace that hosts our website, TonyCornazzoShow.com, but do not use our website as an example as only what they can do, because our website's terrible.
You did it.
That's our doing.
Yeah.
Not Squarespace.
Well, it's not our doing. It's your doing. Yeah, okay.
Squarespace did the good stuff.
Yes. The future is coming. Make it brighter with Squarespace. Go to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use the promo code Tony to save 10% off your first purchase of, again, a website domain.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This comes from Travis Osugi. I hope I pronounced that correct.
Yeah, Travis.
It says, I got the Travis part. I knew I got that.
Well done.
Greetings from Arizona, or as we sarcastically say here, Wilbon Country. I am the bassist and the low post scorer of a retired band called Sweet the Sound. I've attached one of our more fun songs titled Take This Heart Away. I hope you guys like it. Ask me how much I can bench press. Well, not much, but definitely more than Mr. Malibu Rum Guy. Just gratuitous shots at Chris for no reason at all. Michael, if people want to get their songs played in the bumps here and in their entirety at the end of the podcast, how do they go about doing that?
Please send your music into the show at jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
And what can we sell today?
Oh, we can sell.
By the way, we have Chatter t-shirts here.
What's the price?
What are those, like 15, 18
no,
bucks?
No, 12 bucks.
$12. I don't believe that.
$12. Wow. What a buy that
the
is.
The greatest deal in all of t-shirtdom. I'm going through a spring cleaning right now.
You want to get a Chatter
I'm getting
shirt.
Rid of all, well, I already have a Chatter shirt, but I'm getting rid of a lot of other
two,
t-shirts.
One for the weekend.
I'm getting rid of all these $20 t-shirts I bought.
$20
bars.
Crazy.
I'm thinking, I wish I had paid $12.
$12 is the right price.
Well, after your spring cleaning, if you need some new polo shirts, check out Johnny O, where you can use code HOFWOFF.
HOFWOFF.
And if it's if you have that extended cold spell that we have here, maybe you want to dream of spring by picking out some new golf
Michael
shirts.
Gave me a Johnny O Nationals polo.
How great is that?
Fantastic.
Yeah,
it
I've got one
fantastic.
Of those.
It is fantastic.
So it's really good. All right, Michael, how's your shoulder, by the way?
It's getting worse.
It is. You yes. need to see an orthopedic surgeon.
Well, you are picking a doctor. Can you
No, because I'm a doctor of humane
There's
letters.
There's about 500 doctors on this street
yeah,
right here.
Could
between
walk
here
to
like Mazda Gallery.
So we can
this
have
is
to go.
Picking up baby boy Bootsy.
Yes, it's. I carry him over my left shoulder. This is a shoulder injury. Liz thinks that this is. So I'm doing some speed training for golf.
Right.
Where I have the these weighted swings, sticks, and I go in the backyard and swing them as hard as I can. I think it's from the boy.
So what are you going to do?
Well, I
stop
was
picking him up. Just put him on a bicycle. I mean, how old is he now? He's almost 9 months old.
Luckily, he's crawling, so you know he travels mostly on the ground.
Not to put you on the couch here and go full psychiatrist, but I think you'd like to think it's from the boy. But if you're swinging weighted golf clubs as hard as you can in the backyard, that to me sounds like that could cause.
I've never
had welcome
any
to your 30s,
issues.
Son. Yeah. Welcome to
I
your
think
30s.
This is a very easy solution to this: steroids.
Yeah,
I would start juice for this.
You should,
and I don't think in my amateur golf events they would test.
No.
So I'd get away with it.
Oh,
what's Bootsy weigh these days?
Oh, he's a 20-pound turkey. He's a big guy.
All right, well, I could do
we
it.
We have it's the we have the floor at 6'4" for him. Ceiling 6'8".
He's
left-handed.
It's like the boomer bust. Sue Palka has 8-12. Well, how does 4 taste?
Great. He's going to now be 5.
How does 4-5
would be an underperformance.
He's now a little person.
All right, what do we got?
Wait a minute. Is 5'7" a little person?
No, never.
No, that's average.
You're big on the inside. Five,
that's average.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
In Portugal. Talking about a big night for Dwight Howard, one of your favorite players last night.
Team Unity. It's an enormous.
Superman.
32 points and 30 rebounds.
Just unbelievable, those numbers.
Yeah, first place.
And his team didn't lose for the first time in a while.
Yeah.
Charlotte.
Yeah, that's right. In the 111-105 victory over the Brooklyn Nets. He becomes the first player to do that since 2010 and just the second since the 81-82
season.
Who
was it in 2010?
Kevin Love.
Kevin Love.
Okay. Yeah, Kevin Love. These are unthinkable numbers, 30 and 30. They really are. They're
that's remarkable.
I mean, Will Chamberlain got it a lot, but that's then, a long
right.
time ago.
Do you know who the player was in 1982 that got it?
Moses Malone.
I do not.
Moses Malone.
That makes sense.
Well done.
Was that the last
that
guy to
guess,
do it before Love?
Thought.
Before Love, yes.
I was going to guess Adrian Dantley or Moses
this
Malone.
This is 36 years ago. So, it's only been done twice.
Yeah. I'm checking out this box score because my guess is for him to do that, he would have to have shot free throws well, which he doesn't normally do.
That's how Wilt got to 100.
And
he shot 28 of 32
12
on the
of 21.
Line. That's so he didn't good shoot for him. Well, that's good for him. The Wizards played last night. The Wizards lose again in San Antonio.
Uh-oh.
Do you know the last time?
This streak is so bad.
18, right?
1999 is the last time they won in San Antonio.
Chris Webber era, right?
1999. Yeah. That's a long time. You only play once a year, but it's 1999. And by the way,
San Antonio's been pretty good in that time.
Yeah, they've been great.
Still, man.
The weirdest story of the year is Kawhi Leonard.
Calbert Chaney, Ben
Kawhi
Wallace,
Leonard,
Rip Hamilton. That was the roster.
Ben Wallace traded for, I believe, Ike Austin, which is might be the
Ike
worst.
Ike Turner. Yeah, I think he's traded for Ike Turner.
The worst
Tina
trade
was a
in history. That was the old Wes Unseld days. Oh, God bless Wes, but not as a GM.
Well, hasn't somebody said now, I guess Ginobili was like, yeah, Leonard's not
He's not coming back, they say. I don't understand it.
What happened?
There is, among basketball people, according to Wilbon, there is this notion that Kawhi Leonard does not trust the San Antonio medical staff or Greg Popovich, and that he wants to leave. He's the best player they've got.
That's
so I don't
bizarre,
know. It's an odd story.
I thought Popovich was universally revered by everyone.
Not by me, but I'm the only one.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Tom Brady.
Kelly Oubre said he was the GOAT last night after the game.
Yeah, Kelly Oubre, I would trust what he says. He's been around a long time.
See many coaches.
Old school. To some college basketball news. Looks like URI's Dan Hurley is going to leave URI and be the new head coach at UConn for a six-year deal. He will replace Kevin Ollie. And I like this because the way it's said in the copy, who was let go by the Huskies early this month after a fourth subpar season. No, that's not the reason. It was they fired him with cause.
I
mean,
story has been buried and nobody has reported that out.
Yes.
The guy won a national championship.
That is the most quiet national championship of the last 20 years.
What do you mean you fired him with cause and you aren't saying what it is? And nobody's saying.
He's not suing. No. He's like, I'm gone.
Well, they're probably trying to negotiate something, but we this tragic underreporting on that.
Yeah.
There's overreporting on nonsense. And underreporting on this.
UConn needs to get to the ACC. They really do.
Hurley reportedly offered a long-term deal from URI, obviously.
Sure.
Not trying
He's a good coach.
But a more lucrative deal from Pitt, which he eschewed for UConn, which I guess makes sense.
I don't know. Well, Pitt's in the ACC. I mean, that's a, you know, it's easier to win from the ACC
BC,
than from the American.
BC, my alma mater, has tried to keep UConn out of the ACC because they're still angry about UConn suing when BC left the Big East. But just give it up. Let UConn come in. They're the perfect 16th member.
Absolutely.
And they're a great cupcake for football.
They have a football team.
They
can
spent
do
a lot
it.
Of money on their football
team. Do you think
Pitt is
a better
team, right?
job by virtue of just the conference? I mean,
do I think what is a better job?
Pitt is a better job than UConn for a basketball coach?
I think that when Pitt was coached by people like Paul Evans and Ben Howland and Jamie Dixon, it was a better job.
Okay. How about now?
It could be a better job pretty easily.
It's
not
pretty rowdy
that long
arena.
Ago.
Yeah.
It's not that long ago. What else?
Dave Padgett.
He's good, by the way. As is his brother Bobby, because their father is a Hall of Fame basketball coach.
Yeah, pretty good basketball fan.
Harbaugh.
Yes.
Dave Padgett looks like he will
he's
be out at Louisville.
It doesn't look like he's out.
Yes, I guess it is.
That's why it looks that way.
Yeah, after serving as the interim coach after Rick Pitino was fired earlier this year. I don't see any list of who might. Chris Mack from
Xavier.
Maybe.
How long are they on probation? They got to be on for a while, right?
Probably two more years is my guess. What else?
To the Big Three League. Nancy Lieberman has been hired as the power coach I think that's the team out of Houston. The Texas Legends of the D. I'm sorry, that's where she initially got a head coach, the Texas Legends of the D League. So she will.
You've gotten everything wrong so far.
She will replace Clyde Drexler as the head coach of the Power.
This is going to be a very big deal because she's a female. But let's understand something. This is a 3-on-3 half court basketball league. This league this is the definition of a gimmick league.
Right.
This is nonsense.
Right. It's not.
Nancy Lieberman knows everything there is to know about basketball and could coach, you know, a men's college team or a men's pro. I mean, she could do that. She's that good. But this is not. You just didn't break some enormous barrier here by coaching a half-court 3-on-3 league.
Right.
Team.
Right.
Right. Am I right on this one?
I mean, the league was founded by Ice Cube.
Yes. Yeah.
So. Wasn't Pat Summitt offered the men's job at one point in Tennessee? The
I late don't great? Know that.
I think she was.
I don't know.
I could be wrong, but that would have been interesting to see.
Do you think Gino Auriemma should be offered the job? See, he's not offered the job at Connecticut.
No, I think
if Danny Hurley
he wouldn't
there.
Take it. But I would like to see one of those all-time great female college basketball coaches. They're just.
I think UConn should have offered him the
job. Interesting to see.
How do you
My
think,
opinion.
How do you think Nancy Lieberman's pay compares to that of Clyde Drexler's?
Probably far less, but she should get a better agent.
Yeah.
You know, she should. I mean, when this happens, blame your agent. Don't take the job. Martina Navratilova complained about getting like one-tenth of
the
what John McEnroe
gets. The Trailblazers are forced to take less, I guess, because it's
you
that
want
or
to
nothing.
Do it. That's, you want right. to do it, and then you make it better for everybody else who comes you know, along after that.
Drexler,
but I mean, don't tell me you're upset that you don't get as much money as John McEnroe, because John McEnroe is the best tennis commentator of all. There's nobody nearly as good. People are very, very good, and they're not nearly as good as John McEnroe.
Right, yeah, he's the best.
You know, come on.
He's the best. Jim Tomey's going to go to the Hall of Fame, and he will not have Chief Wahoo on his hat.
Nor will anybody else.
Nor will anybody else. He said in January, he said he wants a block C, and the whole
I don't care
with that.
What Jim Tomey wants. Jim Tomey is not important in this. The important thing is that the Cleveland Indians have agreed, and Rob Manfred pushed for this, to get rid of that particular caricature. This is the last year they'll have it, and from then on it won't happen, so you don't put it on his hat.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be gone.
That's right.
So don't put it on
and
his
that's
hat.
Inspired Dan Snyder to do absolutely nothing.
Nothing. Nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
I guess it still appears in early wins, 1972 plaque, and they'll keep
well, that's
it there.
It.
That's right. Yeah, but moving forward.
You don't revise history here.
Yes.
You exactly. don't do that.
And how about another football league? And I'm not talking about the XFL that Vince McMahon is going to bring back.
This is going to preempt the XFL completely.
Yes. Charlie Ebersol, who worked with McMahon in the
Dick
XFL.
Dick Ebersol's son.
Yeah, Dick Ebersol's son.
Luke, you know Dick Ebersol pretty well?
Oh, I know Charlie very well.
Do you know Charlie?
Yes, well, we were both brethren of big-time NBC personalities and figures. And when I went to go visit the University of Notre Dame, Charlie hosted me. Very nice guy. And when I saw this, it didn't surprise me at all. Charlie is a very hard-charging, hard-working guy. I believe his last show was about Matthew McConaughey's brother who drinks Miller Lights in Texas. Does that ring a bell with anybody? Some guy who I
what channel was that
this
on?
This was on
the
some
McConaughey
reality
channel?
Show.
Hallmark?
I'm not familiar
yeah,
with
what
that.
Was
no.
that?
Someone help me out here with Google. Like, there is a TV right, show of Matthew McConaughey's brother, and I think he either works at flea markets or something and turns them diamonds from dust. I don't know. I could be going on a tangent here. Long story short, Charlie knows people. Charlie makes calls. He works 25 hours a day. I don't know if this will be successful, but it won't be for lack of effort.
And Bill Polian is involved, and Bill Polian knows what he's doing.
Yes.
This is an 8-team league that's going to start pretty much the day after the Super Bowl next year, which is why they've just shoved McMahon out of the way.
Yeah, 10-week season.
They have a deal with CBS and CBS Sports, the cable channel. They're going to try and make the games 2.5 hours long. They're going to have 30-second play clock, not the 45 that they have now in the NFL. They're going to have no kickoffs at all. They're just going to hand you the ball and say, go. What do we think?
When successful? And forgive me, you probably said as well, I was Googling about Rooster McConaughey's show for Luke.
Thank you.
But when
with the save.
What time of year will the
season? February 9th,
spring.
2019.
Okay. Spring.
Week after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, 10-week season.
Absolutely.
So it's over before baseball gets going.
What do you think?
I've never been one to think that. I mean, granted, I wasn't around for the USFL. I've
that
only
could
seen
have made
that.
It.
Only yeah. see that through 30 for 30s and things of that nature.
Had Donald Trump not told them to go head to head with the NFL, that league could have made it.
I just don't think there's an appetite for football to that degree. I mean, if you look at where the interest of kids are these days, the Premier League soccer gets so much interest. Kids are playing, you know, Warcraft and what's that other one the kids play now? That they're
Fortnite.
Like, do you think some backup players or some college heroes are going to get the kids off of Fortnite? And me as a big football fan, I don't want to watch that. Like, my mind is into college basketball and baseball by that point.
I think you're right about the younger generation. I think Tony, you share this mindset a little bit. I'm one of those people who the weekend after the Super Bowl, I'm like, what am I supposed to do now?
It's depressing. I don't know what to do.
So I would probably tune it in. Whether or not it's going to hold my interest, I guess will come down to how
here's what
the
I
product
think.
Is.
Here's what I think. I think that the next sport or the next league that learns how to control the high ground of betting and enables you to bet during games repeatedly on plays that you understand. Football is so suited to this because of the play clock. It's basketball is not, hockey is not, baseball is, it's not because of the play clock. Baseball is not suited to this because you can't give too many runs. Football, the concept of betting on football is what the one thing that makes this, make me think that this could be attractive. Betting.
Yeah,
and those the
NFL, can you bet on Warcraft? Can you bet on Fortnite?
I guess you can. Stop though trying to stop a place like New Jersey from getting a sports book. Like, just embrace it.
Adam Silver is the right guy, but the wrong sport.
Right.
But Adam Silver's right.
But it's just so
betting.
Stupid.
Maryland's
Let
trying
it
to get sports betting.
Betting happens in Europe all the time.
Betting
it's great.
While the game is going on. On the next play, betting.
Yes.
And we'll go out to that beautiful MGM.
You're looking at me quizzically.
No, I'm just wondering, what's the long-term goal National of these Harbor. Rival leagues? Is it to supplant something like the NFL or to be...
Yeah. Coexist.
And then ultimately get a championship game
down the road. Do you know what I mean? To say that the real
AFL,
world champion...
NFL?
Yeah. That's what I think. I don't know when they would schedule it, but something like that.
Well, you're never... Well, I shouldn't
say never,
but...
Sure. All right, good. All right, we're gone. On this particular thing, we will have Old Guy when we return. And who's singing today?
Mr. Robert Zimmerman.
Robert Zimmerman will be singing today. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Bob Dylan?
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
You got everything. Old Guy Radio for the day is Bob Dylan. This album was released. Was it Bringing It All Back Home?
Yeah, Bringing It All Back Home, 1965.
Today, 1965, so that's 53 years ago. I have a small story here about, in terms of critical commentary. Many, many years ago, when Carol was a student at some college, New York Community College is where she started, she was dating some guy whose name escapes me now. But she told me about this guy. She said that she handed me a piece of paper, if I remember correctly, and I might not. And she said, well, this is what this guy wrote. And what he wrote was this song. And I said, well, what is this? It's poetry. It's his poetry. Because in those days, 80 years ago, to impress a girl, guys wrote verse. And I said, this is Bob Dylan's song. I can give you the verses that he didn't write. And then I proceeded to do that. You know, the two verses. He wrote the first two verses. There are more verses than that. I said, this is garbage. He didn't write. He wrote this. He physically wrote this with a pen, but he didn't write this.
Yeah, but there are two sides to this story.
Bob Dylan wrote this.
Dad could have been a Bob Dylan plagiarist, Michael.
That was the end of that guy.
Wow.
Whatever that Kenny.
Or it's possible Dylan stole it from the guy.
That's very possible. Very possible.
I mean, has he written anything
they
else?
Don't know who that's supposed to be written about. It could be Susie Rotolo, who is his former girlfriend and is on the cover. I forget which out is that
the greatest cover of all time, the Freewheeling, where they're arm in arm walking in Greenwich Village.
Or did he date Joan Baez?
Yeah, they also think it might be Joan Baez.
That was a hell of a relationship.
Yeah, and by the way,
she can take the dark out of the nighttime. She can paint the daytime black. But Joan Baez,
yeah. And by the way, is this a good album? I'm not sure. Subterranean, Homesick Blues, She Belongs to Me, Maggie's Farm.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Mr. Tambourine Man, it's all good. Over there. Yeah, it's just
pretty good.
Fantastic.
All right, so because Chan loves to be on the show and because this, I feel, is newsworthy, This was sent to me. It said, below is an account of a water rescue off our shores across from our house by the staff here at Oldfield. Pretty impressive, but the dog in question was not Charlie. That's Chan's dog. It's Charlie.
Yes.
Though one day Chessie may be hauling folks in off Rehoboth Beach. Kate went down, watched it all, though not sure she saw the last part. This is posted on the Facebook by Jason Dubose, who's the director of Oldfield's Outfitters Center, boating and fishing and savings people. Do you know this guy saving
yes.
people's lives? Okay. This is a quote. Well, today was one I won't be forgetting for a long while. Tim Helm, the Oldfield security director, Jeremy Webb, my assistant at the Oldfield Outfitter Center, and I did a boat rescue this afternoon on the Okeechobee River after a boat capsized offshore, leaving three people in the water. We found one person stuck in the marsh, buried up to his waist in the mud. He'd been in the water a long while before we found him and was delirious and in pretty bad shape with hypothermia. We pulled him out of the marsh and got him back to the Oldfield dock where the EMS took over. By then, we had dozens of Buford County?
Yes.
Police, ambulance, et cetera, showing up, sirens blazing. The second person managed to pull himself out of the plough mud, climb through the marsh, and make it to dry ground on their own, of course, cut up by oyster shells. Now here's the truly amazing part. The third person was cramping up from the cold water and could not make it to shore and was going down pretty quickly. So then some dog was hanging out on the dock and saw the man struggling. With no encouragement, the dog jumped in the water, swam out to the man, and pulled him back to shore by letting him hold on to his collar. The dog, without a doubt, saved the man's life. And keep in mind, it was not even the man's dog. The dog recognized that the man was in serious trouble and took it upon himself to save him. How great is that?
That is awesome.
Phenomenal.
How great is that?
Dogs are
That's
so much
great.
Better than humans.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, dogs getting a round
and
of
that,
applause
that
here.
There's a certain, you know, a certain counterbalance to what happened with me at 5:30 this morning with Chessie. And that was this. I'm walking where I normally walk. At the time that I normally walk, walking a 75-pound dog on a short leash. And I'm not young. And some guy decides that he's going to walk pretty much where I'm walking. He's out ahead of us, but his dog's not on a leash. And his dog's a pretty big dog, too. Not on a leash.
I thought that was a
lot. So my dog just, my dog knows the routine in the morning.
This is 5:30?
5:30, quarter to 6 at this point. My dog knows the routine in the morning, knows where she goes in the morning. Dogs don't like change.
Not dumb, right. Like everyone says.
Right. So now my dog stops still when there's another dog. Because my dog's first instinct is kill other dogs. Right. Stop still. This is a pretty
He's
big
well trained.
Dog. I let the dog go. You know, I let them go, but the dog's not on a leash. And the dog's looking at my dog, and my dog's looking at that
looking
dog.
At me.
Right? So finally the guy comes back. The guy says, come on. Like, this guy's some sort of stud trainer.
Right, the dog
like
whisperer.
He's the dog whisperer of Upper Northwest. You know, not the wine tyrant. The dog whisperer. Finally gets the dog on a leash and starts walking in exactly the place we're going to go. So I give him some distance. Walks out, and then he starts walking back towards me with his dog. I say, okay, you know, this is what it's going to be. This is what it's going to be. And I say, is that a boy dog or a girl dog? And he says, it's a boy dog. And I said, oh, I think we're going to be okay then because this is a girl dog. And he walks around the cars. He goes, I don't know. And I go, well, you want to give him a chance? And he goes, no, I don't want to give him a chance. Well, we're a little too close to each other at that point. And Chessie takes a giant leap and drags me, smashes me right into a Ford Flex.
What?
They're right. Like,
was it
breaking total? My knees. Breaking my knees. And I get the dog and grab the dog. And I think to myself, that guy, I should let my dog go. Though God knows what's going to happen. It's a big dog, too.
Right.
Big dog, too. Size of a standard poodle. Didn't think it was a poodle, but it's that sort of size. But this guy really, you know what? Hey, come on. You know,
it seemed like he was just drifting around waiting for something to happen. So
you got to go socialize your dog at Battery Kimball. Have you ever done that?
No, what's that?
Oh, it's like a dog bar. It's wild. Battery
it's a
Kimball
dog bar?
Park. Yeah, the people go there.
Like
they have
dog
a little,
drink?
Yeah,
the
people
drink?
Have a glass of wine or a
my
beer.
Dog,
they
I
let their dogs
my,
run around. It's great. And they run up the hill. They get tired in 5 minutes. Battery Kimball Park, Upper Northwest.
It's great to hear
very
that
local.
Chessie's making so much progress with other dogs and the neighbors.
Yeah, Chessie. I don't know.
So what you should worry about is it sounds like this guy is going to be part of your 5:45 routine every
day. I don't want
day.
This. Yeah, I don't want
switch
this
up the
guy.
Time.
Now, you were there first. He's got like, a new routine. Right?
Call the cops.
He's got to have the dog on a leash, man. It's an odd hour for people to be walking
dogs
the
have
dog.
To be on a leash.
Dog not on a leash. That's very
but
especially
he put
dog
him
outside.
On a leash.
Eventually,
a leash.
Yeah, but no, you can't have that.
I don't know. What have we got here? Oh, So I'm watching, I'm the only person in the world, maybe Luke does this because of old time's sake, but I watch the NBC Nightly News.
Ooh, that's cute.
I'm watching last night, and they're showing Escape from Margaritaville opening night as part of an interview with Jimmy Buffett.
How about that?
And they show when Buffett is on stage and Greg's in the shot.
Nice.
Greg's in the shot last night. That was nice.
Could you see yourself? You had to have nice seats. Did you not have
nice, seats? But no, this is their.
Oh, it's like a close
stage.
Up. I didn't know if it was from. No.
So Michael asked me, he goes, why aren't you at spring training? And I said, well, I just got back from a long trip, so I'm a little bit tired. But also, Friday, March 30th, Jimmy Buffett, Royal Farms Arena in Baltimore.
Balmer, huh?
Buffett doesn't really do a lot of arena shows. The Parrotheads don't like arena shows because they
why?
Can't tailgate. Because they can't tailgate.
Are you going to get chicken?
I'm going, and I got a great seat.
Right.
Like, face value, literally a few rows back, very, very nice price. And that is a great arena. I don't know if people have been there.
Do they sell chicken there? Is it Royal Farms Chicken?
No, they just pay to have their name on it.
They can't get chicken.
They don't have beer. It's not a gas station?
It's not. But it is a delightfully terrible arena that has not been updated in 50 years. But you're so close to the musician. It's fantastic. So if anyone is going,
are you a Buffett fan?
Oh, yeah.
Do you
know? My mom wrote one of the first articles about him. My mom is buddies with him. One of the first articles about him, I think it was in the Village Voice, when he was considered a sort of funky Mississippi redneck. I mean, he was a wild cat back in the day.
Do you know the people
he's a
who run the tour? He is. He's close to a billionaire.
He's getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you wanted to I
met those guys.
He's friends with a painter named John Alexander who did all his parrot paintings. That's sort of how my mom got into the scene.
I met the two guys who run the tour.
Oh, yeah.
And they said they'd like me to go to one of the stops.
You should go. This
but
they
don't
perfect go, one.
They don't do Washington.
Baltimore
is the closest one.
But that's easy
I'm going to be
you.
Away, though. I'm going to be playing golf.
Get a nice Kevin Plank's Hotel. They take care of you. You got Under Armour on right now?
I do.
Kevin Plank's Hotel right there on the harbor?
I don't have as much as Kip Sheeman.
Well, yeah.
I don't have 87 pieces, including underpants or something like that. I mentioned this before. I mentioned Rick Pitino wants back in. Would you hire him?
Yes.
Yeah, why not? He didn't have a job? Did he do something bad recently? I mean,
yes.
Does anyone even remember that?
In the story in the Washington Post, he says, I'm not on a wiretap. I didn't do any of these things. But he has certainly hired people who undercut him, and he didn't know, he says, about any of the terrible things they've done, which not this thing, not the paying of this kid Bowen, but the previous stuff got them to vacate their title, their national title. He himself has done bad things personally that everybody knows about. He has been stained and tainted enormously. Would you hire him?
I think his offenses appear far less offensive than they did when we had this conversation 6 months ago or what? Wasn't even. What was it? 4 months ago? It seems like forever. I personally would not hire him, but I am way more inclined to think he gets a job than I was when this first went down.
Would you hire him, Luke?
Yeah, because I come from the position that the NCAA is an inherently corrupt cartel, like what Wilbon says, and that there's cheating going on everywhere. Pitino happened to have some issues with strippers, but I think that that's actually sadly widespread. I think that's something that goes on everywhere, the way the sneaker companies are involved, the agents are involved, the amount of money going in there. So
he had issues with his own personal conduct as well.
Yeah, but that's separate. Are you talking about the incident at the restaurant?
Yes.
Yeah, Bobby
Petrino.
I mean, there's a lot of people are involved in that type of behavior. I personally, I think what
a very
Lane,
forgiving Luke Russert after having his shade stolen by a monkey.
That's right. I think what Lane Kiffin has done, quitting on kids, is much worse in the realm of leadership and teaching than what Rick Pitino has done.
If you were a college president, you could put your arm around Rick Pitino and introduce him.
There's 300 something D1 program
students. If you want to win above
Grand
all else,
Grand Canyon
it's
University that Dan Marley coaches at that just became a D1 school like 4 years ago. Who cares? Rick Pitino. If you're like Niagara or Siena or one of these places, Iona,
you can do it and you'll win.
Him.
But just know
that
it's going to end badly.
I don't think it's a high D1, but I think
D2.
No, not D2. No. I think a mid-major D1 Catholic school.
Yes, that's
I think Catholic school, because they would be in the forgiveness business. Correct. Michael, could you hire him?
No, I totally agree with that angle.
I know, you're right. No, I
when this true. When this first broke,
it's funny because it's
I
true.
Said I would not hire him, but now I definitely am leaning towards that. I agree with going towards a smaller school, one smaller where we can bring back the idea of leadership, coaching. You can make this more about just the wins and losses, and sort of for the personal angle, I would love to see him in a conference where all he has to do is win and get in and cause some havoc.
So here's the other part of this. You're going to have to get a show cause order. So the perfect place to go is at one of these smaller conferences, like my conference, the American East.
Right.
Where you're not competing for the national championship. It doesn't matter. You know, the show cause order isn't going to hurt you because you're not doing anything but competing in your own conference. And I do think a Catholic school would be a reasonable place to go because you could put your arm around them and say, look, who among us hasn't made mistakes, and here's what we're going to do.
Well, I know you like the head coach of Binghamton.
I do,
despite the disappointing year.
Yes.
If there was some move that was made and Patino was the head coach of Binghamton, how would you feel about that?
Season tickets.
I really like Tommy Dempsey. But if you're asking me, if I was in a position where the school that I went to had a Hall of Fame basket, I would say this about Larry Brown, too.
Right.
These are the greatest coaches ever.
A few years ago, there was talk of Calhoun going to BC, my alma mater, and a few of the BC people were, oh, we can't have you. Are you kidding? I'd roll down the gold carpet. I'd kiss his feet. Jeez.
He's got three national championships in his
Wait, is St. Francis in your, are they in your
no.
thing?
No. But I do, I mean,
PA?
What if he went to Stony Brook?
Oh, I'd hate that. He'd win all the time. No, I would.
I mean, wherever he lands, they'll win immediately.
The win.
He's a great coach.
But more than likely, there will be some difficult press conferences.
Yes.
You know, a year or two later.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we will do email and jingle. I'm Tony Kornheiser. And yes, we will take pictures when the show is over.
Yay.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
You can podcast down at the Chatter. They offer reasonable studio rates. Tony's show stinks, but they gotta stay afloat so the inheritance don't go down the drain. Be just like Andy Pulley. Pull up to the microphone and sit your butt down. Take Wisconsin out to Jennifer at the corner. There's a restaurant on the edge of town. There's a restaurant on the edge of town.
This is sent in by Alex Rice, who with his friend Seth.
Nice.
Recorded this, and they do a podcast called Springsteen's Song of the Week.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It was. He said he wanted to write a jingle to persuade all the other littles with podcasts to schedule a recording session, sort of how, like, Tony gives his personal testimonials to companies like the Squarespace and the Honey. For those interested in our show, we also had the great Luke Russert as a guest on our Tougher Than the Rest episode a few months ago.
That was a wonderful experience, and I was up in New England during a hurricane, and I had been drinking earlier in the day, and I'd forgotten about this appearance.
Or Tuesday,
and let's just say that
a day ending in Y.
Well, let's just say that after a few beverages and fellow Bruce fanatics. We were supposed to do, I think, 15 minutes. We went about 115, so it was great.
All right, let me thank Jay Williams for coming on the show today. I believe he'll be on with us on PTI. Let me thank our sponsors today, Squarespace and Harry's Razors. Remember to listen, subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. Karen mentioned that yesterday one of the guests in the podcast bought the breakfast for all the people from St. Sebastian's, the baseball team that is now the official high school baseball team of this show, out of market.
Yes, out of market.
And they were going to your alma mater, to St. Albans, to try to use the indoor facilities.
Well, I hope St. Albans took care of them. A lot of good St. Sabs kids went to BC, so I got nothing but love for St.
Nice,
Sabs. Brian Boyle, an alum.
Little love there.
Eric DePaul writes, while heading to New York City from Baltimore on the train, coach, I was listening to Monday's show. I especially enjoyed the conversation about your first class ride home this past weekend and who was on the train with you. So I thought you would enjoy hearing about who was on the train with me. Guy, who played softball for Rutgers co-ed Greek champions in 1987. It said so on his shirt. A priest at a small Episcopal church in Aberdeen. He told fun stories and smelled a bit like scotch and cheese. And a lady who almost bowled a perfect game last weekend. She missed the perfect game because she did not commit to the role. From Ryan Yoho in Woodbridge, Virginia. Why are you so skeptical of this idea of climate control? They've already invented it. Wilbon talks about it all the time. He decides what climate he wants it to be, gets in the right machine, and voila, warm and sunny or unsurprisingly brisk whenever he wants. Only downside is the climate machine does come with the occasional canine fecal scent. From Dennis Ryan in Traverse City, Michigan. Pat Forty, while commenting on the Tony Bennett-led Cavaliers loss to UMBC, pointed out that when a deer drives in front of your car, you should adjust and do something different. Most of us have been taught not to veer for deer, but that is assumed that the deer is on foot. So what kind of adjustment should one make if the deer drives in front of your car? Is it driving a car? Is it riding in a driverless Uber? What if it's on a bike and not wearing white? I will hang up and listen. From Reed Evans in Charleston, South Carolina. After Tuesday's show, UMBC over UVA is now the second biggest shocker of the week. I never would have believed that you could bring up Zarro's Rye without a lengthy side discussion on the merits of the paper versus the plastic bag. You can take the plastic bag outside, but you want it in the paper for the ride home. Yes. Phil from Herndon, Virginia. Dear Dr. Hoff Waff, the reason you have not yet hit the jackpot is, like Hillary, you've ignored the flyover states. Your East Coast, West Coast bias is hurting you. Just ask the Donald. From Todd Warnick in Jerusalem. I continue to be a loyal little listening to all the shows from Jerusalem, the well-known historical and modern-day headquarters for climate control, where due to strong connections with the Rothschilds, I arranged this week for 85 and sunny while you wallow in snow and near-freezing temperatures. Thanks for all the great smiles, and I wish you and the various and sundry a happy Passover next week. Go easy on the matzah. There's more than one reason it's called the bread of affliction. And tell Kip Sheeman, if he wants to be more exact in his weather forecasting, that he should contact me. From Garrett Keith in Winnipeg, Manitoba. I'm curious when the show is going to launch its campaign to get I Have a Piano submitted to the National Recording Registry.
It's on the list, yes.
Ryan in Mercer, Pennsylvania. In the long list of tactical items that are discussed on the show, I think I have found the most unique. Behold the tactical stun gun. In case your method of self-protection gets encased in a block of ice or run over by a car, you'll be safe. We should get this. It's the tactical stun gun.
We should have,
that
yes.
Sounds like something that Tonto Peranto would carry on his belt, doesn't it? Greg Knott from Waltham, Massachusetts. With spring arriving despite the 2 feet of grass-only snow dropped on us last week, I was looking forward to my upcoming fantasy baseball draft. A last-minute emergency meant that I was subject to the auto draft. Scrolling through my roster, I was hopefully optimistic, and then I saw it hanging out in my relief pitcher's section. Blake Treinen, season over before it starts. P.S. Go Friars and eat it, Saliza. That's just out of the blue. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
This book is devastating.
Sad. You just have to leave that up to them. Right then I realized that she's the girl that your Chris watches. That I wanna bury you in my heart. Please don't ever let this feeling go away. She said that I wanna marry you. But I'll draw back. Right then I get pushed aside. Cause right then I realize that she's the girl that I always wanted. It's wrong that it all those seems we said. Just didn't mean it, and it all goes out the door. She's dancing in the fences, she remembers.